All right, let's talk sand castles or really any pile of sand, you know,
Yeah.
sugar or anything like that. Ever notice how it always forms a slope and if you try to make it too steep, it just collapses?
Yeah.
Turns out there's a whole world of physics behind why that happens. We're diving into a 1982 paper called The Surface Statistics of a Granular Aggregate.
Okay.
Sounds intimidating, but trust me, this stuff is
It
fascinating.
really is. This paper, published in the prestigious Proceedings of the Royal Society of London, tries to answer a seemingly simple question: how does the surface of a pile of granular material behave? But as you dig deeper, you realize it's not simple at all.
Right, the authors, Edwards and Wilkinson, start by tackling something that most of us wouldn't even think about. How do you even define a surface when you're dealing with a bunch of loose particles?
It's a great point. With a solid object, the surface is pretty obvious. But with sand, for example, it's constantly shifting and changing as particles settle. So Edwards and Wilkinson came up with a clever way to represent this mathematically. Imagine connecting every three particles to form a tiny triangle. The surface is then defined by all the parts of these triangles that aren't buried underneath others.
So it's like creating a 3D jigsaw puzzle of the surface using these tiny triangles.
Exactly. This gives them a mathematical framework to analyze something as seemingly random as a pile of sand.
Okay, that makes sense. But then they take it a step further with this thing called the blob model, right? What's that all about?
The blob model is a simplified way of thinking about how each particle contributes to the surface. Imagine each particle as a little blob of material that spreads out a bit when it lands.
So like a drop of water landing on a flat surface.
Precisely, in their initial model, they treated these blobs as completely random additions, like each particle just falls wherever it wants. And you know what? The simple model predicted something pretty wild. The surface would get infinitely bumpy as you added more material.
Hold on, infinitely bumpy. That doesn't sound right. I mean, a sand pile doesn't just keep growing forever, does it?
You're absolutely right to question that. The researchers quickly realized their initial model was missing a key ingredient: gravity. In the real world, particles don't just land randomly. They tend to settle into the lowest points they can find, those little dips and valleys on the surface.
Okay, so it's not just about adding blobs, it's about how those blobs settle and interact with each other that makes a lot more sense. So how do they factor that into their model?
They introduced the concept of a lattice, which you can think of as a grid overlaid on the container. This grid helps to represent the dips and valleys where those blobs of particles are most likely to settle.
Interesting. So instead of just randomly plopping down the particles in this refined model, are more likely to settle in those low points on the grid.
Exactly. And this seemingly small change led to some pretty big insights into how these granular surfaces behave.
Okay, I'm really curious now, what kind of insights did they uncover? What does this all mean for our sand pile?
Well, for one, it means that the roughness of the surface isn't just about how high or low a certain point is. It's also about the slope of the surface at that point.
So it's not just about the peaks and valleys, but how steep the sides of those peaks and valleys are.
You got it. And this connects directly to something you mentioned earlier, the angle of repose. You know how a sand pile naturally forms a slope, and if you try to make that slope too steep, it collapses.
Right. So are you saying there's a mathematical link between those slopes and how bumpy the surface gets overall?
Absolutely. And here's where it gets even more fascinating.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more.
Even with the settling behavior, the model still predicts that the surface gets rougher as the container gets bigger. But the way it gets rougher is pretty unique. It grows logarithmically.
Logarithmically, that sounds a bit technical. Can you break that down for me? What does that actually mean for, say, our sand pile?
Imagine you have a small sandbox, you pour in some sand, and the surface gets a little bumpy. Now imagine you double the size of the sandbox and add more sand. The surface will get rougher, right?
Sure, that makes sense. More space, more bumps.
But here's the key. If you keep doubling the size of the sandbox, the surface will keep getting rougher. But by increasingly smaller amounts each time, it's like the surface is doing a slow dance, getting rougher, but at an ever slower pace.
So even if I had a giant sandbox like the size of a football field compared to my little bucket, the surface wouldn't be that much rougher.
That's the amazing part. The paper highlights this with a pretty mind-boggling example. Even scaling up a bin by a factor of a million only increases the surface roughness by about 50%.
Wow, that's wild. So it's like there's a natural limit to how bumpy a granular surface can get, even if you keep adding material forever.
In a way, yes, but it's important to remember that this model is still dealing with idealized conditions.
Right. We're talking of perfect little blobs, all the same size and shape. What about in the real world where sand grains are all different?
That's an excellent question, and it leads us to the dynamic aspects of this model, which we'll delve into right after this.
Okay, so we've been talking about this blob model and how it helps us understand the surface of a pile of sand.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it's all been about the final picture, right? Like what the surface looks like once everything is settled.
Right.
What about the process of getting there? How does that surface actually evolve over time?
That's where things get really interesting. The Edwards and Wilkinson model doesn't just describe the end state, it also captures the dynamics of how the surface changes as you keep adding those particles.
So it's like a time-lapse video of our sand pile forming. I'm all ears.
Exactly. Imagine you start pouring sand into an empty container initially. Each particle that lands creates a little disturbance on the surface. It's like a chaotic dance of particles bouncing around and finding their place. The model describes this initial phase as behaving like a random walk.
A random walk, like each particle is just wandering aimlessly until it finally settles.
In a sense, yes, but it's not entirely aimless. Remember, gravity is still at play, pulling those particles down into those dips and valleys. So while there's randomness in where each particle initially lands, there's also this underlying tendency towards settling.
Got it. So it's a bit like shaking a box of marbles. At first, they're bouncing all over the place.
Right.
But eventually, they start to settle down into a more stable configuration.
That's a great analogy. And that's essentially what the model predicts for our sand pile. As time goes on and more particles settle, the surface starts to palm down. Those wild random movements give way to a steadier state, although it's never perfectly still.
Right, because we've got those logarithmic fluctuations still going on, making the surface a bit rougher as we add more material. So we've got this initial chaotic phase that gradually transitions into a calmer but still slightly bumpy state.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean for understanding real-world granular materials, though, beyond just sand piles?
I mean, yeah. Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it means that even things that look perfectly static, like a bag of sugar or a pile of gravel, are at a microscopic level constantly in motion. It's a subtle dance of particles settling and readjusting, driven by gravity and the interactions between those individual grains.
That's pretty mind-blowing. So even though my sugar bowl looks perfectly still, there's a whole lot of tiny action going on beneath the surface.
Exactly. And this understanding has implications for a whole range of industries that deal with granular materials. Think about pharmaceuticals, agriculture, construction.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like how you store and transport things like grain or powders would be affected by this constant settling and shifting, right?
Absolutely. Knowing how these materials behave, how their surfaces form and fluctuate over time is crucial for designing efficient processes and storage systems.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've got this idealized model that helps us understand the basics, but you mentioned earlier that real-world granular materials are usually a mix of different sizes and shapes. How does that affect things?
That's a question that researchers are still actively exploring, and it gets pretty complex.
I bet. I mean, just thinking about it, you'd have bigger particles settling differently than smaller ones, maybe getting stuck or creating different kinds of slopes.
Exactly. And the shape of the particles would play a role too. Mm. Think about the difference between smooth, round particles and jagged, irregular ones. They would interact with each other and settle in very different ways.
So the idealized model gives us a good foundation, but there's a whole other level of complexity when you start considering these real-world variations.
Precisely. But even with its limitations, the Edwards and Wilkinson model provided a major step forward in our understanding of granular materials. It opened up a new way of thinking about these seemingly simple substances and paved the way for further research.
It's amazing how much we can learn from something as seemingly simple as a pile of sand. Okay. So we've talked about how that surface forms and how it evolves over time. But what about the specific details of those fluctuations? Like how big do those peaks and valleys actually get?
That's a great question, and the paper dives into some fascinating details about the magnitude of those surface fluctuations.
Okay, so we've been getting deep into the weeds with this blob model and how it helps us understand the surface of a pile of sand. We've talked about how those surfaces form and how they evolve over time, but what about the nitty-gritty details, like how big do those peaks and valleys actually get?
That's a great question, and it's something the paper explores in detail. They actually provide a specific formula for calculating how much the surface fluctuates at different points, and it reveals something quite interesting. Those fluctuations don't just keep growing forever.
Oh, so there's a limit to how wild those peaks and valleys can get.
Yes. While the overall roughness of the surface can increase indefinitely with the size of the container, the size of individual peaks and valleys tends to stabilize over a much shorter length scale.
So it's like there's a maximum height for those sandcastles, even in a giant sandbox. Is that related to the angle of repose we talked about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. Remember, there's a limit to how steep a slope can get before the sand starts to collapse. This angle of repose is directly related to the size of those individual particles.
That makes sense. So even though the surface is constantly shifting and those fluctuations are happening, there's a kind of built-in stability because of the nature of the material itself.
Precisely. It's a fascinating balance between randomness and order. Those individual particles are moving around and settling in a seemingly random way, but the overall structure is constrained by these fundamental physical laws.
It's like those intricate sand mandalas. You see, there's so much detail and complexity, but it's all ultimately governed by the properties of the sand and the forces acting on it.
That's a wonderful analogy, and it highlights the beauty of this research. It allows us to see these everyday materials in a whole new light, to appreciate the subtle interplay of forces that shapes the world around us.
So to wrap things up, what's the key takeaway you want our listener to walk away with from this deep dive?
I'd say it's the realization that even the most mundane things, like a pile of sand, can reveal profound insights into the workings of nature. By applying the tools of physics and mathematics, we can uncover hidden beauty and order in the seemingly random.
It's a reminder that there's always more to learn, more to explore, even in the simplest things around us.
Absolutely. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire some of our listeners to go out and make their own sand piles to observe those subtle fluctuations and appreciate the complexity of the granular world.
That's a challenge I can definitely get behind. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.